for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with our weekly look at the world of non-league football, or perhaps at this time, for the world as non-league football sees it. We operate in unprecedented times, and whilst we want to make sure we help with your non-league football fix, we are conscious that without football being played, very few players being traded, and some clubs still in suspense mode, there's plenty of hot air, but not much substance about. So for this week at least, we're going to keep it short and sweet, cover the essentials, and bring you some of the positive stories in some difficult times. Please bear with us, and if you have a positive story you'll want to share about your club, about non-league football, please get in touch, and we'll see if we can feature you in the coming weeks. So admit it, how many times have you all twiddled your thumbs since lockdown began? Now, some have reworked their sock drawer several times. Others have probably even sorted out that junk drawer that surely every home has stuck with. Used elastic bands, pens, takeaway leaflets, and miscellaneous receipts. There's only so much social media you can do, only so many TV box sets, and even only so much daily exercise routines we can all take up. And our first guest probably knows that too well. As part of the management team at Royston Town, he'll probably be no doubt disappointed that the season came to an abrupt end, but he's making full use of his time at home with a new initiative offering webinars for those that love the wonders of non-league football. The next one's coming up. Who'd be a manager is the title of the webinar. To tell us more, welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Chris Watters.
Hey, mate, you okay?
I'm good. And Chris, now, who'd be a manager? That's the title of this webinar, the second one since the season was suspended from you. What's it all about?
Who'd be a manager, eh? So, I work for a sports tech company, and obviously everyone is away from football at the moment. So, it was born out of just a chat that we were having, like on an online coffee, and it was just a case of what can we do to sort of entertain people, and it kind of just drew out of that, and giving people... The idea came around when we were still allowed to go out shopping, but we couldn't go and play football. So it was a way of trying to give people a bit of a football fix. So I spoke to a few people within the world of football, and they've agreed, mate, they're giving up their time free of charge to give people a little bit of an insight into their world. So massively happy for them.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody, even those that aren't very tech-savvy are onto Zoom, they're onto Skype, there are all these technological things. A webinar you're running next Wednesday, 8th of April, 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock in the evening. It's really aimed at non-league managers and those that are, you know, involved in the game at a coaching level. But how can they get involved?
So, it's essentially, I've got it on my... Twitter page, which is at Football Woots. All they need to do is just go on. It's just a form. They just fill out the form, and then I'll email them out the address or the code they'll need to log on to it. And it's an opportunity to listen to experienced coaches and what they do day to day, really. Like I say, there's no real catches to it. It's just I've got a few friends in some positions, and I've asked them if they'd mind supporting it, and they've agreed to do so. So, opportunity to learn while we're all stuck indoors.
Yeah, it's what I call you're being a facilitator, aren't you? You know, it's just bringing people together and giving them an opportunity to, well, learn from each other, really.
Yeah, my company has helped support it, and they've helped me. I'm no experienced person in terms of webinars. Being completely truthful, it's my first. It's going to be like a relaxed thing of people could just sit, tune in. I'm sure we're all bored of sitting indoors. So it's just an escape for a couple of hours and, yeah, put a few people on the spot. And they've got some really interesting things that they're going to talk about, to be fair. So us coaches were the biggest feeds in the world because we steal each other's ideas, to quote Lukey Garrard. And it'll give us a chance to do that, I guess.
You're quoting Luke Garrard there. He's one of the keynote speakers, the manager at Boreham Wood at the moment. And a couple of other big names involved as well.
There are, yeah. So we've got, confirmed so far, we've got Luke at Boreham Wood. We've got Anthony Limbrick, who I've spelt his name wrong, so I have to apologise for that. But Anthony, assistant manager at Grimsby. And we've got John D'Souza at Colchester as well, who's the director of performance. We've got We've got three others confirmed. I'm hoping for two others that are in really high positions within football. But when it comes to stuff like this, they're quite shy, so they don't know whether they fancy the technological side of it. So I'm hoping to have sort of four or five more. Definitely got three, but hoping to have four or five more, which will be announced on Friday.
It is a great opportunity, isn't it? As much as, you know, it's a bad reason that we're all stuck inside. There's never been another occasion where you could really attract the attention of everybody in the game of football, because almost everybody is stuck at home, as you say, looking for their football fix.
That's right. I mean, I've spent a day, I've gone through some clubs online, and just thank you to them, because they've retweeted it and obviously see it as an opportunity for people to escape the harsh reality of what's going on at the moment. So thank you to everyone that has supported it. We've had a really good response. I think there's sort of over 100 people that have signed up for it today, and it only went live last night. So I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. It's not going to be anything formal. It's going to be quite relaxed. People can have an opportunity to ask questions and get some more insights into anything they don't understand. So if you've got nothing else to do next Wednesday, then why not?
And obviously, you know the management game well. With your own job during the week, you say they're helping sponsor put the whole event on and things like that. You're immersed in football, so does that mean that you literally are left with nothing to do at the moment?
Yeah. So I work for a company called Player Maker. It's like a new solution. So that's involved in football. Still getting a lot of interest. Funnily enough, we're still getting a lot of interest for people for next year, because obviously we know it will resume at some point. So they're looking at new ways of innovating their players and their coaching style. So I haven't got that in its proper mode at the moment. And yeah, obviously being up at Royston and the season being ended, I think ended rightly in the sense that it shouldn't be going back, but not so rightly in the way that it's been concluded, in my own opinion. Yeah, there's a lot of time to spend with family, which is nice.
Yeah, I think that, again, if we're looking for positive spins, I think one of my friends suggested that he'd probably spent more time with his 9-year-old daughter than he probably had in the last 9 years of her life. So maybe that's a good thing, and hopefully we can get them along to non-league games when football does recommence. Now, we touched on your association there with Royston. In terms of this is... webinar's going to be all about, you know, learning about managers, and we know from our own non-league gaffer tapes podcast that Dave Anderson does that, you know, people are intrigued by how managers work, different managers work in different ways. What about yourself? Who has been the most influential in your career as a player and now as a coach from that managerial background?
Great question. So probably speaking, I've learned a lot from Steve, who's the gaffer with me at the moment. Being in my first real role, he's been sort of really supportive in that. Gives me a lot of input into my own views, and he lets me sort of have a lot of say. So learning bits and pieces off of him. I'd say probably my first mentor, I don't believe he coaches anymore, but it was a guy called Michael Stone. He used to be the Wingate manager. He was unbelievable at coaching. And I think Anthony, who's on the... on the webinar as well, would probably vouch for that as well. He just had an unbelievable way with words whilst he was being horrendous at football. So the ability to be able to coach people whilst you couldn't play yourself, he articulated himself fantastically. Well, I've had some really good managers. Michael Steve Hooker, Oran Wood as well, was excellent. And he was probably ahead of his time with his coaching methods. So you learn from the good ones. You probably learn more from the bad ones. You learn from the good ones, and I've been fortunate, I'd say, in that sense.
Yeah, we spoke with Steve Castle, manager at Royston Town, earlier on in the season, and it's been another great season for you guys there, except the end result. Great run in the FA Trophy. I think you were third place when the season came to an end. Obviously, the expansion of results now, that sort of, it almost derails all the great work you were doing last season. Is that where great coaches now come into their own to keep the guys on side, you know, get them re-signed for next season and to keep that spirit alive so that you can, when the season does commence for next season, whenever that is, that you can hit the ground running and move along with the team that you had last year?
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, I was on the phone to him just before you rang, or I gave you my wrong number. We're just looking at next season already. It's hard because we don't know what the situation is. We don't know when we'll be returning to play games. So we can't really look at pre-season friendlies. But we're sort of looking at finer details for next season already. We were in a great run of form, and I confidently feel like we would have won the league. Looking at running, I thought we had like an easier running than the other guys. And I felt that we might have just picked it. So it's a very bitter pill to swallow. I get it completely. There's bigger things at stake. But I feel that there was ways that it could have been resolved where people were still rewarded for their work. And I know everyone's got a different point of view. It's just mine. But we've looked at ways. We were looking at ways of keeping the players fit whilst the season was unsure with what we're doing now. We were looking at ways of when we could potentially return, how we do it, whether we'll get like a full time of this is when we can go back, this is when the season goes. So we're looking at various methods, and I'm sure most good coaches are. And that's probably bringing it back through to next week. That's what's going to be good, because I'm sure I'm going to come out of that next week having stolen a few ideas on how other people do things. And I wanted it to be for the non-elite market, because there's a lot of sort of elite end webinars and CPD that takes place, but I wanted something to be relevant to maybe more the part-time role that isn't at the top end of the game, and those young aspiring coaches that we've all been one. We've all wanted to be somewhere, and we've all worked hard to get to wherever we're going. And it's just going to be good that some guys that are starting their journey are going to be having the opportunity to get face time with experienced people that are doing really, all of them are doing really well in their careers. And it's going to be exciting for that point.
Yeah, we keep hearing about these unprecedented times that we're living in, we're working in. But yeah, normally as a non-league coach, you get your players on a part-time basis. They normally the modern player keeps himself very fit, so a lot of the time they're coming to you, and you're dealing, I guess, more with the mental side and the, you know, the game side of things. Whereas, I guess for the majority of players, they're also sat at home, not doing the things they'd normally do, not being able to do the same gym stuff that they'd like to do. So you're having to be more of a parent than normally as a coach, I would have thought.
We are, yeah. I mean that's all the fun world. Like, obviously, that one, it's kind of fun. We work where we deal with sort of player tracking. We've just created a way of... a large way is players can't be monitored at the moment, and other than trust, and they're relying on, even at the top end, I mean, you see with Jose the other day, getting the lads on Zoom or whatever it was, and doing like watt bikes and with them. So it's hard to track everyone. The lower down you go, it's going to become even harder. So it's quite interesting work-wise. We've just developed a method of being able to do that, which is going to be like a bit of a game changer for us, to be fair. But where we are in terms of like the non-league market, you're right. It's what access do you have? What access do they have? Have they got kids that they need to look after? Do they have that accessibility that they usually have? Because obviously everything's a little bit different at the moment, isn't it?
It's a very different world, and I think the fact that you're bringing non-league coaches together via a webinar, it says it all, really.
Yeah, and I know, I think that the game's changed a lot, and I think there's going to be a lot of coaches that would be interested but don't know how to work at the technology. So hopefully they can kind of resolve it so they can get involved and work it out. But yeah, I mean, it's the way the world's going, really, isn't it? It is becoming technology-driven and thinking outside the box on how we do things, whereas I stopped playing 5 years ago, and games weren't even really filmed unless you were at the top end. Now you jump on social media and you see highlights from like every team. It's the best scouting network, to be fair, because you can do all your homework from home, because you can watch everybody so easily now. So it's funny how times have changed. So just hopefully that the way it has kicked on, we can get people involved for tomorrow, for next Wednesday, I mean.
Yeah, Chris, just remind people again how they can get in touch with you and find out more about the webinar and get involved. So
you can either go on to playermaker.com and you can sign up for the webinar there, or you just jump on my Twitter and it's just literally sign in a form so that we can then register you, and then we ping out an email closer to the time with the link for the camera that you need to jump on.
Good stuff. Well, Chris, best of luck with that. That's Who'd Be a Manager, a webinar being run next Wednesday, the 8th of April. Chris, stay well, stay safe, and best of luck with the webinar.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Good luck with it all. Stay safe, everyone.
So we've given you something to do whilst we sit tight waiting for the lockdown to pass and football re-emerges, but we do hope that there is a rainbow at the end of the tough and distressing times for those that are touched by coronavirus and its impact. Whilst we can't detract from the importance and seriousness of the position we find ourselves in, people are hoping that one day soon, football will return and provide a little thanks to the frontline NHS workers who are doing such great work in the battle. Step forward then, four friends with a love for the non-league game, with an idea for non-league to say a big thank you once we are all back and running. The initiative Non-League Charity FC, a fundraising game featuring some of non-league legends raising money in aid of the NHS and MSUK. To tell us more, one of the gang of four, Ben Andrios.
Hello, mate. You all right?
I'm good, Ben. Now, how did this idea all come about? Because I think it's literally just a few days in the making.
Yeah, well, Sunday, Liam put something out there. Liam Kenner, that is, put something out there just to see what was what. So I sort of inquired with him and said, like, what's going on? Can I get involved with it? And he was like, yeah, sure. So next thing we know, it sort of lifted off and we started a Twitter page up, and just everyone wanted to get involved. Like, some of the names that want to get involved with us has gone absolutely mad. So we've got, like, 40, 50, 60 players, ex-pros, actors, snooker players, want to get involved and help raise as much money as possible. And I see it as that the NHS are going to be the ones helping football get back on its feet. Then why don't we do something to help the NHS? I know it's going to be a drop in the ocean compared to what the NHS is, but every little helps, as Tesco says.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And a lot of us are feeling helpless, really, at the moment, because there's only so much we can do. We're trying to, you know, stay indoors and do as we're told and that sort of thing. But there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of passion, and we do hope that when football does get back on its feet, that people have come flocking to the game. So what better way than make sure that it raises some much needed funds for some much needy charities.
Yeah, I totally agree. And at the end of the day, if they need all the help they can get at the moment, because by all accounts and what you've heard on the news and all stuff like that, it's kind of, they're fighting a losing battle with the PPE and all stuff like that. So it's something that, because Liam works for the NHS, so it's something that he wanted to do. He feels strongly about it, and it's just something good to give back to them, which is good. And then why not do it through, as you said, the game we all love, the game that brings people together when they watch games and go down the pub and have a drink? Then why can't we just give it back with football?
And I think the fact that it snowballed so quickly and so formidably as well, and bringing everybody together already, shows the power of the non-league game and the non-league network as well.
100%. I mean, with Lee Bertram, he's getting involved and he's getting people in and getting people playing, and just with all non-league, he said he don't know if he can sign anyone after this because he's had to say no to a lot of people because of what's going on. So he said he might struggle next year at Burke Hampstead.
Yeah, so the idea really is there's going to be the original idea, a Twitter 11 effectively against a non-league over 30s, isn't it? A side that Lee Burcham, joint manager at Berkhamsted Town, was going to oversee and manage. But as you say, you've got 50, 60 players, everybody wanting to play. So I saw on social media, there's even talk of maybe having 3 40-minute halves or something like that to get everybody a game.
Yeah, I mean, it started off just the Twitter 11 versus a non-league 11. Then we had to kind of put a cap on it because, like a 30-year-old cap, because if you had all these 20-year-olds running around people like us, they'd run rings around us. So we did that, but people were still coming in. And we was like, look, we've got to look to kind of maybe do 2 matches or do 3 30s, like some teams doing pre-season. And then literally it's just snowballed all over the place. And we're like, should we do this? Can we do that? We've just started, we're setting up like a kind of like a Just Giving page, but that's not fully set up yet. We're looking to do auctions of like signed memorabilia that people might give us. And it's just like literally gone out of hand. I mean, we've got like 800 followers on Twitter in like 3 days. Like only people like Beckham and stuff like that get it. So with us making all this promotion about it, it's just gone crazy.
And I suppose the craziest thing about it is it's an idea that's come about in a few days, and we don't even know when or how that the game can be played yet because of the situation that we're all in.
No, I mean we've kind of penciled in July time, but with what's going on, we don't know whether that could be brought forward. We don't know whether that has to be put back a bit. We don't know what's going to be going on with grounds. I mean, we've earmarked Welling Garden City to play it, but with so many people, we might have to look at possibly a different venue because it's just not going to hold that many people. So 50, 60 people, they bring 5 or 6 people with them. It's just going to be absolutely nuts. And then obviously the pitch, and is that going to be available because pre-season is going to come in round? So yes, we've kind of written down in pencil that it's going to be July, but it might change. It could come forward. It could be put back. You just don't know with what's going on in the world at the moment.
But in the meanwhile, you guys are very busy trying to pull it all together. You mentioned, you've got people from the world of football, the world of snooker. Yeah, some of the names that I've got down here: Jimmy Bullard, and then you've got Billericay Town boss Jamie O'Hara, Chelsea's Frank Sinclair, Michael Dubry. Again, all guys that have got great non-league links as well. The Holdsworths as well, old friends of the show, Dean Holdsworth and his twin brother David, I believe, have both thrown their hats into the ring. And obviously you mentioned Lee Burcham, I guess his brother Mark, QPR legend, will be floating around somewhere as well. And then I see Alfie Burden and Mark King, the snooker players, have popped their heads above the parapet. Are they going to stick a pair of shorts on and have a run around as well?
I'm pretty sure they both are. I'm pretty sure they both are. It'll be fun to see the abilities from your Jamie O'Hara's and your Paul Konchesky's and Jimmy Bullard's down to, well, I might even pull a pair of shorts on, you never know. Just seeing these type of players. I mean, when we got Jimmy Bullard in, I was like, oh my God, like, I love him. Like, he's an absolute legend. And like Jamie O'Hara and players like that who have played in the Prem, played for England, and you just think, wow, like they want to help the cause just through some non-league coaches, managers, players. They want to help that cause. It just shows how much football brings people together from the Premier League at the top all the way down to non-league.
Yeah, and normally these sort of ideas, you hear the legend of them, that it was a group of lads in a pub on a Saturday evening having a few beers. You couldn't even be doing that at the moment. It's all come together via the wonders of the internet, really.
Yeah, social media is a very fascinating thing, and we like phones just connect people basically. And I know it sounds cliche, but just through Twitter, it's like we've not even set up an Instagram page or anything like that. I've put a few bits out on there, but it's all literally come through Twitter, sort of messaging people, them messaging us, having 20, 30 direct messages in, you've got to read, just through people going, look, if you need any help, like, I mean, we've got the kit being supplied to us from a company. We're going to get sponsors on the front of the kit, scaffolding firms saying that they'll put towers up if we need it to film. People coming in saying that they'll film, they'll commentate, they'll do posters. I mean, Nathan Hobley, who works for the F2, Hartford and stuff like that, he's already been designing some posters for us that we can put out on social media at such short notice, where it's only been, 4 days. Just, they're like, we do it, NHS have been brilliant, we want to give something back, like, whatever you need, just help us. And it's just snowballed, as we said, out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, I think we are in that unique position that we've got everybody that loves football, desperate to get their element of football in, but also to do their bit as well all the people that are still out there on the front line. You've got everybody's attention as well. Yeah, I guess probably that the whole country's screen time's gone through the roof in the last couple of weeks. So. you've got your message out there quickly. The Twitter handle that you have set up is at CharityFC2020. That's 2020. So I guess at the moment it's still very embryonic, still very early days. You're still putting together bits and pieces, but that's the best place for people to follow, find out what's going on, and get in touch with you.
Yeah, 100%. If you just follow the Twitter handle of CharityFC2020. You'll find out all the details if and when we know it, because obviously the world's a crazy place at the moment. So when we know, as soon as we know, it'll be put straight out there. You'll find out who's playing, who's helping, companies that are helping. We might be doing an auction on Twitter to start the ball rolling with raising money, just through donated signed shirts or all different stuff like that. So that could be something that people need to look out for on Twitter in the next few days, maybe in a week. It's just where it's gone so nuts. We're trying to get everything sorted.
And I guess sorted. Trying to get on with your own lives alongside it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been nuts. I'm just glad I'm not at work at the moment. Otherwise, I'd have definitely no time on my hands. So where I've got a little bit of time, it's something that I can sort of go through, which is good, because I mean, it's keeping me busy, and also it's everyone, as you said, there's loads of screen time going on, so everyone's paying attention to what's going on social media.
Well, Ben, a great initiative. Keep it going. Keep us in touch as well, and things, how things are going. Look after yourself. Look after everybody involved in the project. And thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
No worries. Thanks for having us, and I hope to see you down at the charity game.
I will be there, mate. I will be there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Well, time to round off the show then and head on over to, virtual Non-League Paper Towers. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Senior writer at the Non-League Paper, David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that's always a pleasure. And interesting times we're working in. Are you keeping well?
Yeah, I am, yeah. Busy with the paper. We're still bringing it out Sunday, 32 pages, so... So yeah, plenty to write, really. But no, it's good talking to yourself again and talking to managers and clubs and players around non-league and sort of keeping busy at home, but keeping busy nonetheless.
Yeah, and you say everybody's keeping busy. I mean, the big news this week was that probably wasn't any big news, really, wasn't there? The National League did hold another board meeting on Monday. They weren't included in last week's FA expunging decision, which you covered really, really well in the paper over the weekend. The only news this week is that they're still holding out at the National League to hopefully end the season at some point. It seems that there's lots of support that football should carry on, but in my eyes, I just wonder whether we just need a backstop to say, look, if we can't make a decision by then, we're going to have to draw a line in the sand then.
Yeah, like you say, I think probably the National League statement saying that the season was suspended indefinitely, it had been scheduled to come back, I think, on the 3rd of April, which is tomorrow, Friday, or this weekend, which obviously was never going to happen. So it probably sort of left more questions than answers, really, in terms of what's going to happen. Obviously, I think their preference is to resume the season at some point. But I think the whole issue really is complicated by the two promotion spots up into League Two and obviously the two down from League Two, which is actually one because of the Bury situation, providing they aren't reinstated into League Two, which obviously could be a possibility, but I would somewhat doubt that now. I think that is probably the main thing really with the National League is that possibly holding out to see what the EFL do. I gather the EFL are having discussions this week. So maybe in the next sort of 24, 48 hours, we might be a little bit closer to knowing what might happen. But I think for the time being, we remain in the dark. The National League said that they were going to be discussing with clubs what they would like to do. I think that was one of the main issues with the step 3 to 6 making their seasons null and void is that a lot of clubs and even leagues saying that they weren't really consulted, they weren't really able to put forward their opinion on what should happen. So I think maybe the National League have looked at that and a bit more cautious of making their decision. But like I said, I think it ultimately comes down to what the EFL are going to do and maybe the National League will follow suit from there. But there's no one answer apart from football resuming tomorrow and everything being back to normal again that's going to please everyone in this scenario.
Yeah, we probably need to maybe revert to that famous non-league footballer, Fitz Hall. You know, there is no one answer that Fitz Hall, in this situation. And you mentioned there's been lots of debate, people saying to me, why the National League being treated differently by the FA. And I think it really is, it's like a game of chess, isn't it, with the EFL and the National League and non-league as a whole are so worried about potentially losing those two promotion places. We're still all pushing for three promotion places, and they wouldn't want to make a decision that may be detrimental to them either this season or for future seasons.
Yeah, that is the sort of main crux, I think, for the National League, which is different compared to the rest of non-league. I would say probably the National League have to try and be a bit careful, though, not to try and separate themselves from the rest of non-league, because although the top flight division and the majority of teams have played in the Football League, the majority of full-time professional outfits, I think step two is quite a lot different to that in the north and south. There aren't as many full-time teams. There are more than there have been in previous years, but I still would look at step two as very much sort of a non-league, really. And you know, I think maybe with the National League perhaps separating themselves from step 3 to 6, it could lead to issues in the future. But it is so difficult, I do almost feel sorry, really, for the people who are having to make these decisions, because, like I said, there is nothing that will please everyone. And as we saw when the decision was made last week by the FA, one I think was probably a fairly safe option in the sense that I think that there'd be a lot more outrage in 3 or maybe 4 months' time should a lot of clubs financially go to the wall, and then people might then point at the FA and say, well, why didn't you do anything back in April, March time? So I think maybe they've tried to do that. So just so everyone sort of almost knows what is ahead, but clearly and understandably, clubs who are up at the top of the leagues, or even clubs like Vauxhall Motors and Jersey Bulls, who have already won promotion, clearly will be upset with that decision. So it is really difficult. As it's been said before, an unprecedented situation in football, and yeah, I think there's more discussions to come over the next weeks and months as to what's going to happen going forward. But I think maybe the main thing for me really is that non-league clubs, whenever football does come back, are still here to play.
Yeah, I think that's important. You've already mentioned there, you know, the National League may be taking a bit more time because they're consulting with clubs. And, you know, one thing I've been thinking, now the decision's been made, and there's obviously, there's petitions, there's going to be, I'm sure there'll be some legal cases somewhere for clubs that, which are upset, that have had a great season and thought they were being promoted, and that they want what's best for their club, and I completely understand that. But we have this certainly for 3 to 6, the line's been drawn, and we've now got more time than we ever have in any other season, hopefully, and certainly we've had in seasons gone by, that we could be spending dealing with other issues. So, you know, maybe looking closer at the reorganisation, maybe looking at, you know, where cup competitions fall into things, where county associations fall into things. It's also never a better time to source opinions. You've got majority of the non-league world, the managers, the chairman, the players, the fans, sat at home wanting something to do. So it's almost incumbent upon the FA to actually, they've made a decision, they're getting flak for it. Now let's, you know, get them to move and source some opinions from the fans, from the players, from the managers, as to how we can move forward as a non-league football game, and maybe, you know, look at maybe issues that we've had in the past and spend some time just making the world of non-league football better for us all.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It actually almost comes back down to the point of, well, why did the FA make the decision so soon when there is so much time? But like I said, I think they just wanted to put everyone sort of on a clear, almost as much as they can, path is into the future. But like you say, yeah, it is a time that can be used wisely for clubs. I was reading, Bognor Regis Town and announcing stadium or ground improvements this week, but they also said in that, you know, they've got so much time to spend on the pitch and things like that, and sort of get that right. And you know, even though you've got that summer break at the end of a regular season, often, you know, people just do want a break from it all after that. It's, you know, it's sort of, as much as you have that free time, you do need a rest as well. I think the amount of time we're going to have now, like you say, there is an opportunity to do these things. So I think clubs, it is important to try and progress in this time as much as they can, and try and get things right at football clubs.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say about Bognor and you know, mentioning about their pitch, because I know my old colleague Stuart Fuller, in his column in the non-league paper last weekend, you know, touched upon that one of the reasons that football needed to draw a line at steps 3 and 6 and close the season off is that and not being able to carry on through the summer is because there are essential pitch things and maintenance that needs to go on in the summer, and it's all, you know, these are all the jobs that now, you know, maybe some clubs can get underway. There's certain things that they can't do because it's not going to be essential maintenance or essential going to work stuff, but there's things that the pitches that we love to see in September and August, the lush green, that only comes about from some hard work and some remediation work, that if we were, you know, holding off a season and then suspending it, kicking it back in a month, 2 months, 3 months' time, those pitches might not hold up. And then we might get to December, January, and the pitches wouldn't be in the state that we'd want them to be in, that for some proper football on there. So this does give clubs a bit of a time lag to have a think about what work needs to be done on the field. If there is any bits and pieces that can be done, just keeping things ticking over, so that when we are all allowed back out from this lockdown, that clubs can move on. And another thing you touched on there is that we're expecting that hopefully when we all get back out and start watching some football, the sun's going to be shining and people will want to go and flock to non-league football in grand numbers. We need to make sure that our clubs are ready for that.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually one of the things probably that sort of give you that sort of hope and excitement still really probably during this time, which is difficult, is that when things do get back to normal, and they will, but it will take some time, but when it is back to normal, we do have football back again, that's just going to be, for me, I think, a fantastic occasion across, you know, no matter what, whether it's the Premier League or the Championship, right down to non-league level, I think that's just going to be a brilliant celebration, really, because I think what this has done is it makes you appreciate what your life was like before it all happened, really. And football, as we know, it almost does seem ridiculous that we're talking about football during this time. When I think yesterday, more than 500 people died in this country because of the coronavirus, and the death toll seems to be going up each day around the world. But football does mean a lot to people. And I think when we do come through this and everyone's back on the terraces again, it's going to be a really, really great celebration. And hopefully there's some way that entwines with a non-league day or a non-league week or month or some sort of initiative like that. But that is something really to look forward to.
Yeah, we hope that there'll be some embracing from the game top down, embracing non-league football when we all can get back out there. Obviously, you say a celebration of football. There's a celebration of football every weekend, David. What can we expect to read in this weekend's paper?
Yeah, so we're having a little look at the fallout, really, of last week where steps 3 and 6 were, or 3 to 7 rather, were made null and void. Since then, an open letter has been published and sent to the FA and signed by more than 130 clubs across non-league and a couple in the Football League. So we're having a little look at that, talking to those clubs who have joined it, seeing what the main points are and discussing that. Away from the issues of leagues continuing and whatnot, we've got news on all of the divisions, dedicated news pages right the way through to steps 5 and 6. I spoke to Mark Bright this week, who is head of under 23 development at Crystal Palace, but you may remember he actually started his career at Kidsgrove and also Luke Town in non-league before he went on to the likes of Leicester, Crystal Palace, Sheffield Wednesday and Charlton and played in the Premier League. And it was really interesting talking to him about his role now at Palace, where he's sort of in charge of the loan system, where we'll loan players out into non-league and the sort of non-league manager he speaks to and the games he watches and watching players and things like that, which was a really nice insight. We've also got a nice piece of Paul Warne, who's the Wolverhampton United manager, looking back on his time as an FA Vars winner at Diff Town. That's a really nice piece written by Kristen Levy, who usually writes for our Football League paper, but is stepping up in for us at this time. We also have a nice piece about Gordon Barlett as part of our new non-league icons feature, where we, as it says, really feature a well-known name in the non-league game, and probably Gordon Barlett for his long spell at Willstones is exactly that. So we sort of find out a little bit more about
and his successful spell at Yedding before that, David. I have to, as a Yedding fan,
have
to run that.
Of course,
and Southall before that.
Yeah, and so that's something to look forward to. But there's loads to read in there. And, particularly if people are bored at home or whatever they're doing, it'd be great if you could get out and support the paper if you can get outside of your house, or if not, there's the online edition as well, which comes straight to your computer or iPhone or iPad right on Sunday morning, so you can have it with your nice fire, which I know you like doing as well, don't you?
I do, yes, and particularly in these times when you seem to forget what day it is, let alone what hour of the day it is, and I don't know if anybody else has fallen into the same mistake as I have by thinking, well, it's, you know, I haven't got to get up technically for work in the morning so I can watch another box set. And, it, you know, you find yourself looking at the clock and it's 2:30 in the morning. Just like a normal old school journalist, really, going back to those hours. But, yeah, I do like it sometimes on a early hours of Sunday morning, and I check to see whether the digital edition has dropped into my inbox, so I can be the first one to read the non-league paper. Obviously, been proofed by your very own eyes as well, David. But it's always a reason to either not go to bed or get up early on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, exactly that. Thanks for your support, Tim. We'll be drafting you back in for another column soon. You've very much hit the mark with your last one a couple of weeks or so ago. But yeah, there's plenty to read as usual in the paper. So any support is greatly appreciated.
Good stuff. Well, thank you for your support, David. Keep well, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks.
So that's it for this week. Thanks to all of our guests. A big thank you to all of you for listening. Don't forget, you can, as ever, follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anton's at DaveAnton78. Caroline Barker's at Caroline Barker. And myself at Tim Fuel. You can, of course, find us throughout the week every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Take a look there, too, for the Non-League Gaffer Tapes, which hopefully will be returning soon. Take good care of yourselves, people. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA